The Supreme Court effectively legalized same-sex marriage nationwide last month. The ruling has been seen as a huge victory in the movement for equal rights for lesbian, gay, and transgender communities. But that doesn't mean LGBT people automatically have equal rights and protections, even here in Washington state, where in some cases we've had equal protections laws on the books since 2006. Gunnar Scott is a commissioner on the city's LGBT commission and former program director at the Seattle-based Pride Foundation. Gunnar Scott told Jeannie Yandel that in Seattle, it's not necessarily about changing laws. It's about changing culture.
In some ways, you know, just being able to be LGBT and not have to have this part of your brain that's always on alert. And what I mean by that is my husband and I recently bought a house. And so for us, it was a very complicated situation. I mean, house buying is complicated anyways, but you add on the fact that both of us are transgender, which means that we've had name changes, which means we have to worry, you know, is this going to pop up in our credit report? And what's the reaction going to be of the mortgage officer or the realtor or whoever's looking at that information? And then when we finally get in the house, which is super exciting, we then think about, okay, how are neighbors going to take us? You know, as a couple that presents as a gay male couple and may not know that we're transgender, we have to think about that first. And then if folks, you know, if we build relationships with our neighbors and they decide to Facebook friends us, you know, for me personally, I'm out, very out as transgender. And so then I have to worry about, you know, maybe they could handle us being gay, but can they handle us being transgender? And so it's just a lot to have to worry about all the time. It really limits your life in some ways.
I feel like I need to point out that we do live in a really progressive city. What else is Seattle missing that we're not doing?
Sure. I mean, I think Seattle could actually be a leader in this. Seattle has been a leader. Seattle passed its first gay rights ordinance in 1973. And ever since then, there have been opposition against it, and Seattle's fought it. You know, the people of Seattle have stood up and said, no, we accept folks that are LGBT. I think the next place for Seattle to go is really to embed equity for LGBT people. First and foremost is the city could be actually asking questions to get data on LGBT people. That doesn't happen.
Like what? What do you mean? What
well,
kinds of questions?
Well, any kind of surveys that the city does, if you think about it, you don't get asked what your sexual orientation is. And then for gender, you have two options, male or female. And so someone like myself, who's transgender, and I openly identify as transgender, I want to be able to pick a category that says female to male, transgender. And I want to have that option. So when I get a survey like that, I check both because you're not giving me, you know, I have two choices. I grew up as female. I live as male now. Like, so there, you know, and that then, of course, throws off the data. So first is just collecting data. I mean, most of our decisions around where our money goes and things like that are based on population size and who's in the population and what their experience is like. And so we are excluding LGBT people, which is 4.8% of the population of Seattle, which is approximately 31,000. And this is just adults. You're basically saying we're going to exclude the neighborhood of Queen Anne because that's the size of the LGBT population.
So how would changing the way we collect data, how is that going to impact urban planning?
Well, I think, you know, the city of Seattle has an initiative around race and social justice, and it's very, very important. You know, I believe that one of the largest lenses that we do need to look through is around racial justice and making sure that our systems are equitable for folks around race, particularly folks of color. And so when you're not including LGBT people in those statistics, you're excluding the experiences of same-sex couples who are African-American and are dealing with economic issues more so than straight African-American. And so our LGBT community members that are African-American are not only dealing with all of the issues for their race, but also because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, which is a double impact. And we also know that those community members live in the same ethnic communities as they identify and present as. And so instead of focusing all of your attention and energy just on Capitol Hill with this assumption that all of us LGBT people live in Capitol Hill or spend all our time there, the reality is we're across the whole city.
I'm talking with Gunnar Scott. He's the program director for the Pride Foundation here in Seattle. He's also a commissioner with the City of Seattle's LGBT Commission. We're talking about what happens here in Seattle for the LGBT community now that same-sex marriage has been legalized around the U.S. And one way of addressing this cultural shift that you're talking about is thinking about where people live, where they want to live, where they're going to live. and looking at policies that plan for that kind of thing. How else do you change the culture, though? It feels like a really difficult thing to try and do. And it's a long game, right? You don't do it immediately. It takes time. So how do you do it?
Right. We're still trying to change culture around race and racism. And that, you know, that active, you know, kind of civil rights movement has only been going on for 60 years. We're looking to that movement to see what are the things that have been successful. I think in the last couple of years, I mean, first, just electing an African-American president, of course, helps to change culture, but we also see the level of backlash to that. And we're going to see the same thing around marriage equality, is that level of backlash against people perceived to be LGBT or Q. And that is part of that cultural change. And eventually, the side of love, as I like to think of it, or the side of hope is going to prevail, but we know it's going to take a long time for that to happen.
You just talked about the side of hope, and I'm wondering where you see hope in terms of culture change in Seattle currently.
You know, I think here in Seattle, the fact that we have an openly gay mayor is definitely a sign of hope, and that his husband has been accepted as the first gentleman. I mean, just seeing that when I go to events is really important. When I was approached by the Seattle Police Department to work on a policy on what to do with transgender victims of crime and transgender, you know, arrestees, like, that's a sign of hope that, you know, I have a lot of complicated feelings around police and all of that, but the fact is that they reached out to the community and said, we know this is an issue and one that we need to work on. And it was different than 10 years ago when I had to go to the police and say, look, you need to work on this. So when I start to see city agencies and departments come to the commission and ask for our help, or come to Pride Foundation and ask for our help, that's a sign of hope instead of us always having to knock on the door.
Gunnar Scott is the commissioner on the Seattle's LGBT Commission and program director at the Seattle-based Pride Foundation. He talked with Jeannie Yannell.